Women Who Mix with Dana, Amy, Kelsey, and Gert.
We're back.
Hi.
Woo. It's Monday.
It's like it's just me. Friday.
You can't say that. I forgot.
It's not Monday.
It feels like Monday.
It's Friday.
So, Gert, what's so special about this week?
So this is World Creativity and Innovation Week, and it was created by this lovely lady named Marcy Siegel, and now it's gone global, and so people celebrate this all over the world in various ways. And when I worked for Disney, we used to do little activities every day, kind of lunch and learns, but where people could, you know, kind of practice their creativity muscle a bit and think a little differently. So I kind of put it out there. I wanted to tell you guys about it. So so just kind of curious, like, what are your creative outlets? And, you know, what do you do to make yourself feel creative?
And not everyone has that. I mean, there are a lot of people who feel like they don't have that and they don't mm-hmm. know how to tap into it. It's like with a kid who says, I don't like reading, but if they find the right material, it could be a comic book, suddenly they love it and they realize they do have a passion mm-hmm. for something. So, yeah, it can be a struggle.
Well, they just need to be properly inspired, right? Because mm-hmm. a lot of people, like, even when I'm doing a keynote, you know, I'm like, okay, so who in here thinks they're creative? Oh, you'll get about three hands. And I'm like, nope, you're all creative. You're not properly inspired. So mm-hmm. what inspires you? And maybe it's taking a walk or listening to some music or watching Game of Thrones. I don't know. No, that's just me. So, but you know, it could be anything, or even just having conversations with strangers or with friends, you know, I mean, that's why they invented the cocktail napkin so you could write ideas down, you know, that kind of stuff.
I didn't know it either.
I kind of made that up, but you know.
Really? That's amazing.
I was being creative.
I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
Here's my handle.
I took a lot of, took a lot of creative license with that one. So, and I apologize to the family of the person who actually created the cocktail.
The napkin family.
But, you know, I mean, it just can come from anywhere, but you just never know, right? And so that's why you have to kind of practice it. We call it deliberate creativity. So sometimes you got to push yourself outside those limits. So just I want to tell one more story. So I have a friend that I'm her mentor, which is hilarious because she's getting her JD, MD at the same time. So she'll be a lawyer and a doctor. She's going to Boston University.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm her mentor. That's a riot. So anyways, she's brilliant. But she was a student athlete at UCF, and then she was in every club and organization and blah, blah, blah. And so she was like, Gert, I've lost my creative outlet. She's like, all I do is work and practice and play and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, what can I do? I go, what do you like to do? She goes, I like to take pictures. I'm like, you've got an iPhone. Get out there. Take some pictures.
You're saying in that sultry voice. I'm like, wait a minute.
I know.
Get out there. I like to take pictures.
I'm like, oh.
Well, get creative.
Not those kind of pictures, Dana.
Okay.
So, but you know, I mean, everybody's got something that makes them feel creative or innovative. So I'm just curious what y'all's are.
Mm. Well, a lot of people, too, want to know what really is the definition of creativity, because people think it's just arts and crafts,
mm-hmm.
and it really isn't. It's
way bigger than
way
that.
Bigger
it
than
can
that.
Be so
yeah.
many different things, you mm-hmm. know, so it's important. I was talking earlier, you know, I worked with a finance team at Disney, and they were like, oh, Gert, you're the creative one. And I was like, please stop saying that. I'm like, have you guys ever changed a spreadsheet that saved the Walt Disney Company money? Well, yeah, we do that all the time. Then you've been creative. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that people feel repressed in just normal everyday, like, this is what creative means, so this is how you're supposed to operate?
Yeah, and I think some people have creative in their titles, so they're licensed to, you know, to be the creatives.
Right.
But I think it's so much bigger than that. Everybody's creative.
But then you have the pressure.
Yeah.
I've been labeled the creative one for most of my life. And then you feel pressure that you have to, it's like dance, monkey dance, you know,
yeah.
you have to come up with the next big idea. And if you don't, like, I mean, I take it.
You're responsible.
I do. I take it personally. Like, if there's something on the line and you need an idea for some mm-hmm. whatever's happening and I can't come up with it right away, I, like, freak out inside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the perfectionist in you, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay, so where I am just like, okay, because people go, oh, Kurt, you're so good with words. I'm thinking, oh, God, okay. So, you know, then I come up with something, even if it's half-baked, I'm like, I know you don't love that, but does it inspire another thought? Oh, well, yeah.
That's okay. Yeah.
So just think of it like that. I mean, you don't have to come up with the finished product. Actually, mm-hmm. you shouldn't. You should date your ideas, right?
Yes.
Right? Pet them. Fondle them a bit.
Date
but
them.
But don't marry them. So yeah.
Okay. Date them.
So there's the creative that you feel like you probably should bring to your work, maybe bring to whatever your major interests are. But also, I mean, getting creative in parenting.
Yes.
And how you go about that. So you are having a good time maybe while you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Well, every day.
Not just parenting, but like cooking and, you know, getting your table ready for, I mean, Easter Sunday, if you celebrate it, is coming, you know, pretty quickly. And mm-hmm. it's like, so like, you know, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, there's creativities in everything. When we were little, my brother and I set the field on fire beside our house. We were playing with matches and we weren't supposed to be. And so nobody got hurt, right? And the volunteer fire department came. But my mother got creative in her parenting for that because she was funny. And so she made us go to the fire station meetings and then we had to write a report after
a month
of it. And so, I mean, we learned our lesson because we were embarrassed in front of these guys and we were in our neighborhood, right?
But it made an impact.
It certainly did.
And that's a challenge, too, because I do try to be creative in parenting because I feel like it's going to make more of an impact if you come up with something, the cliche, out of the box. But it's really true. If you come up with something for your child to do, whether it's punishment or even, you know, a reward, mm-hmm. something that they're going to remember, lasts a lot longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does creativity... is it impacted by expectations? Because I know that if I have a very strict requirement, especially of my students, that limits their creative options.
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you this because you're a teacher, is like around the fourth or fifth grade, kids start to lose their creativity because they're told there's only one right answer.
Right, exactly.
And that is not the case. There is more than one right mm-hmm. answer. So yes, the answer to your question is yes.
Totally.
Like give them some guardrails, but if you show them this is what I need by the finish line.
And
that
like,
stifles
them. There needs to be
them.
Wiggle room in a rubric.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's hard to quantify.
Yeah.
When they're trying to be more creative.
Well, just speaking from like what I'm going through right now, it's definitely been very hard for me to be creative, especially since it's kind of stifled within higher academia. That's a different way of thinking is not, it's not always accepted. And trying to break into what I want to do, I've had to take several different routes, but now like I'm seeing the ramifications of me being creative are still, it's more about, I'm trying to like put this in a nice way.
Wrap it in the package, Kelsey.
Yeah, right? It's more about like they're not accepting of it. And so now I'm kind of like paying the price for that.
Because
so,
it's not black and white.
Right, exactly.
I could see that.
So in areas that are not highly accepting of creativity, how can you still be a creative that is still successful in that? Or maybe I need to redefine what success actually means because it's not that my success is not dependent upon that black and white thinking.
Challenge that success answer. Challenge it every time and change it. You know, it doesn't have to be the same thing all the time, right? So what might that look like? You know, and there's a tool that we use where you list all the rules around something and then you say, okay, great. What if those rules didn't exist?
Right.
That's how Netflix came to be. And that's why Blockbuster is out of business, except for the one Blockbuster that still exists in the United States. That's it. Because the guy that started Netflix went to Blockbuster with this idea for streaming, and they laughed at him. And so he was like, okay, what if these things didn't exist? What might that look like?
So this is super existential, but I'm going to go there. So going off of what you just said, Gert, is there a purpose then to operating in the box?
Yeah, you need, sometimes you need what your success criteria are. Mm-hmm. So there's a tool I use with groups, you know, because otherwise they're going to be all over the place. And then how right. can you judge what's the tangibles of success would look like? How do what are your measurables, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I have a session coming up later this week, and that's what we're going to work on. We're going to work on their ideas, uh-huh. but then we're going to be like, okay, how will we know that these ideas have been successful? So right. you have to put some criteria for
so
success around
like
it.
The kite and the string. So you still have to be grounded.
You still have to be grounded, but how high can the kite go?
Right.
Right. So, yeah.
That totally makes sense.
That's a good question.
That's the way we work here. So people would expect in radio that we'd be very creative people, and it's just endless fun, and we're just coming up with all kinds of things to dazzle you that are supposed to be outside the box.
Yeah.
But we do have very specific parameters. Right. So we get to talk for a certain number of minutes each hour, because we're going to play some songs.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, but we're going to play some commercials too. But we have other business to get to.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So given that you've got this, you know, many minutes that you get to fill with whatever creative you can come up with, what have you got?
Mm.
And sometimes having those parameters set and those limits to how much time you have to get there,
right.
it really gets you going. It's not just a free-for-all where you can just go, go, and go as long as you want to go. You have to get it done. You need an out, and we have to move on to the next thing. It needs uh-huh. to be forward momentum.
And totally.
It's totally about momentum. And momentum is one of the creativity behaviors that we talk about, but it's lighting a little bit of a fire because you've got limited amount of time, mm-hmm. right? And we call it hotbox. So you've got this little bit of time. You've got to get it done in that little bit of time. And mm-hmm. it's got to be spectacular, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, right? You go see stand-up. They've got right. this amount of time to make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. They don't get to come back or text you or call you later on in the evening. No, I've got a better
way to end wait, wait. Story. I thought of something else, right?
Yeah, that high lever, that ticking mm-hmm. clock.
Yeah.
Can sometimes really get you going.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's getting worse too as people's attention gets shorter and shorter.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come up with that thing right in the beginning.
Right.
Otherwise, people are like, eh, and they move on. I know, same thing in the radio, you know, world or in the marketing world, outdoor, for example. If you're buying billboards, you have 8 seconds. That's it. 8 seconds.
Yeah.
Sometimes even less, especially the ones that switch
yes.
now. Because I'm like, wait, no, go back. I didn't get to read the whole thing.
Yeah, they switch every 8 seconds.
Yeah.
But that's in order to grab somebody. So if you think of it that way, you're like, mind blown. What is going to be that thing that's going to capture everybody's attention? I think that that goes back to my earlier comment about, you know, being on the spot and coming up with that next big idea.
Right.
Well, I think as well, being on our devices, having your family members, your coworkers, everyone on their devices, what are you going to do that's creative to get their attention engage them? Because you can't just wait. I mean, we'll all be waiting from now until forever for people to put their phones down.
Right.
I worry what's going to happen. Are kids going to be creative? Because we were just having this conversation this past weekend, and you know, Fortnite is so huge, and there's a lot of addiction going on right now where the kids, we're talking about chores and payment, and kids want to be paid in video game hours and not money anymore. And they just, there's no drawing, there's no painting going on, there's no building going on. I mean, yes, they're doing all this stuff in a video game, but the video game is giving them their parameters. So they're not thinking with their own or being inspired on their own.
Creating on their own.
Creating
That's it.
On their own.
That's it. Yeah.
I just read a fact that this past year, the part of the economy that was bringing in the most money was actually the arts. One of my friends was bringing up, like, why aren't we contributing more to dedicating more time for the arts when that's actually the first thing to go within a school system, is that the emphasis now is on STEM education, so like science and math. But one of the things that is really good about how they're trying to switch things up within education, at least, is that they're trying to teach students that there are different ways of solving a math problem than how we were taught. So, Amy, I don't know if you've experienced this with
Kenny.
Don't
even say it. Yes.
Yeah. It's just like,
awful.
It's a very different
NPS,
way
we're
than
going
how,
back.
Yeah.
They're dropping it.
Because
the parents didn't understand it.
Right.
I can't help you with your homework.
Because nobody could understand like how we were trained to do it.
Right.
But then they're taught multiple ways to solve one math equation based off of their own learning style, which is a great premise, but I don't think it's being properly taught.
Correct.
So because then that's,
yeah, I mean,
there's no follow through.
Right. Man, we could. This could be a whole other show.
No, I think, yeah, honestly, okay, though,
I think it will be.
That would be kind of fun to bring in some moms and have that discussion, you know?
Yeah.
When you were talking about STEM, though, just from my higher ed experience,
yeah,
STEAM is also coming back.
Yeah, so STEAM
is coming back, right?
Changed.
So,
yes.
Yeah, where
they have.
They are,
yeah,
celebrating
the arts.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited because we got into Howard, which is the...
Oh, awesome.
You never told us that.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so here's the thing. Disclaimer, I shouldn't say that. But I'm excited. So they had the second round lottery.
Uh-huh.
We didn't get in. However, we're 21st on the wait list. And I know that they have X amount of seats to open up.
Yeah.
So she falls within that.
Oh, awesome.
So now we just have to wait for the final confirmation. Yes. But yeah, she's there. But I'm excited because it has the performing, mm-hmm, arts track.
Yeah.
And that's huge.
Yeah. So she's going to have her core classes. But because she is a visual arts, mm-hmm, person, she'll be able to take classes that speak to her creativity, mm-hmm, in visual arts.
Yep.
And I'm happy for that, yeah, because... Me too. Unfortunately, more and more schools are getting away with, mm-hmm, that. So there's not that other outlet.
Right. And I can tell you, based off just personal observation, because I have a lot of interns within OCPS, when I go into Howard specifically, compared to a school that they're trying to bump up their scores, like if they're an F school, they aren't allowed anything creative, that they have to stick to the test in order to pass the test and get a higher score for their personal school.
That's sad.
Yeah. So then they focus
inspiring
only on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then Howard, I walk in and the kids are super happy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel really repressed. And it shows just based off of like how they're responding to the teacher and how they're thinking about the different answers that the teacher's asking. And it's just a clear difference. So I definitely think that creativity, unfortunately, is missing in a lot of the schools.
Environment's huge, though.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Environment's a big piece that we talk about, too, when we're setting up a session. Like, what kind of room are we going to be in for this creative session, right? It's got to have windows because you need natural light. I mean, and, you know, the more you can bring in, the more inspiration you can bring in, like, to put on the walls and that kind of stuff. And I bring in crayons and paper, and I make people color. And that's why adult coloring books got so popular,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
People love to color. Give me a break. And then I hang that stuff up and we make little art galleries, right? Because it does inspire people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, environment's a huge piece. So
what can you do if you know that you work in an environment where you can't just go in and say, we need windows. Put these windows up. But what are some practical things that people can do to help change the environment for themselves and those around them? Gert took me on a field trip. We went down to City Hall, and it was absolutely amazing. And I loved the open workspaces. I don't know if the people who work in those spaces love hearing other phone calls and things like that, but the vibe was really, really cool, mm-hmm, and positive.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like something that, even in an environment that's not as cool as City Hall is cool, but that you could create some of that and bring some of that, mm-hmm, to wherever you are.
So, okay, there's a couple things you can do. So, even when I was at Disney, and there was some cool stuff on the walls, like movie posters and that kind of stuff, but my office was like a train wreck of inspiration. All right. It was fantastic. So, you know, and our senior vice president would come by and be like, Gert, this place is a mess. And I'm like, but dude, don't you feel inspired? He was like, I can't not look around. I was like, see, then I did it. But, you know, like we had a naughty quote door behind my boss's door. So like,
ooh,
nobody
dirty,
ever
nerdy
saw it. But if somebody said something that could be taken either way, oh my God, we would just hold it in, and then we'd go back and get our Post-it notes, because you know Post-it notes were our life, and we'd get our Post-it notes and we'd hang it on the back of her door, right?
Oh, that's great.
So then when we had meetings and we shut the door, we would all just giggle because we'd read all the stuff. Another thing you can do is like hang butcher block paper in the bathroom,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Huh.
And hang it in the bathroom,
okay,
on the wall, okay? And then leave markers.
Please do that, Dana. Please.
Yeah.
You have to do that here.
I mean, Dana, that wall right there is perfect for a situation like this. So, but, you know, and then you leave markers, but you ask a catalytic question on there, like,
mm-hmm,
so how might we, whatever it is, right? And let people, you know, or what are the barriers to creativity, and let people write anonymously.
Mm.
It's amazing,
mm-hmm,
the stuff you get, and they'll feel like they got something off their chest,
mm-hmm,
right?
So and another thing you can do too is have a jar whether it's quotes or just silly words, or you can call it the giggle jar and just put silly stuff in it. Mm-hmm. And as people are coming into your office or into your workspace, they can take one and laugh about it. And it kind of shifts the perspective mm-hmm. for a minute. And you can do that at home too with your family. You know, just keep the inspiration jar on the table mm-hmm. and put in, whether you're putting in notes of inspiration or you're taking notes of inspiration out, that's a quick and easy way mm-hmm. to do it too.
Yeah. A lot of the times, for students at least, there's been a huge investment in the yoga balls as seating, because it's helpful for you to ground, but it's also a lot of ADHD students to allow them to think better. I wouldn't say that that's great for high school classrooms, but it's been really successful in within like K through 8th classrooms.
Because it's an outlet for them.
Exactly.
Right?
They can for kind movement.
It's like a big fidget toy.
Yeah. Right?
We put fidget toys out a lot. Like I put out Play-Doh and...
super helpful.
Oh, yeah. And pipe cleaners, which mm-hmm. you're not allowed to say pipe cleaners anymore. They're called Chanel stems now.
I'm what?
Like, whatever.
What?
Whatever. Okay. So anyways, but I put that kind of stuff out on the tables too, because those kinesthetic people, they yeah. need the fidgety stuff.
Oh, totally.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you put that stuff out, and it's amazing what they'll create with that Play-Doh mm-hmm. and that stuff. Like, it's really cool. And by the end of the session, you have all these little sculptures of Play-Doh.
So then the challenge then is, what can you do to inspire others?
Ooh. I like that.
Absolutely.
It can be a little
creative.
Thing.
It can
yeah.
be anything.
Put up a sticky note with a funny saying or a picture or a funny comment. It doesn't even have to be
an elaborate. Yeah, it doesn't have to be something
life-changing.
No. Or you can even like, my friend Francois sent me this video, and it was filmed. It wasn't filmed in the U.S., but anyways, they had cool accents. But this guy was making up conversations on his phone. Like, he was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I need to break up with you because, well, I kissed your mom twice. And he goes, and I really kind of liked it. But anyways, but they were filming the people that were shopping beside him and their reactions to stuff. So like,
That's hilarious.
God, you know that person went off and told a million people, right?
Oh my God, yeah.
I just overheard the weirdest conversation. So just silly stuff like that. Even if you're in your car, sing and do the drums and like entertain the people at the stoplight next to you. I mean, it can be anything, right? Anything.
Who in your life inspires you?
Yeah.
Who's someone that you look at and you're like, that person, they just always, they've got it going on.
Mine is always Oprah.
So, she's your bestie.
She's my bestie. No, why I say that, like, she is in my life because I always listen to her podcast with Super Soul Conversations. So she is always inviting people on that are really not only inspirational, but just inspiring, like specifically within their own field, that they are highly creative. The newest one came on. It was Dr. Brené Brown. And I freaking love her too. Like, she's definitely, I guess I could say Brené Brown as well. But Oprah is definitely somebody that's continued to inspire me, just because I can clearly remember after school always coming home and watching Oprah with my mom. So she's had quite the effect on me since a very young age, and even today.
Oh, yeah, we all love Oprah. Mm-hmm. Mine, I think, would be Ellen.
Mm.
And then I have a male, too. I love Morgan Freeman. Like, I would love, you know, when people say, hey, is there one famous person that you'd like to have dinner with? It would be him.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because in my head, you know how you want
dinner
him to...
Dinner with God.
Well, you want him to commentate
yes.
your funeral, right? So
yeah.
I'm thinking, what would Morgan Freeman say about me today, right? So, like, he's always in the back of my head. And in that voice, too, because he's just got that cool voice, right?
Yeah. Can he do my outgoing message? Like,
yeah. You know, hey, and Oprah needs to be listening. Into our podcast as well. So just
yeah,
saying.
Okay. I agree. I'll call her.
Okay, thanks.
Oprah.
Get on that one.
Inspiration for me is, and it's changed, you know, over the years, depending on where I am in my life. But now, right now, inspiration is my daughter, because I want to show her there's no box and there's no parameters. And if we were just talking about this weekend too, about rules, and I think that rules are there is just in case.
Yeah.
I don't particularly follow the rules.
Yeah.
I feel rules are meant to be broken.
Yeah.
That's why we like you.
I have that mentality.
So, you know, and I like to show that in hopes that Kenny will learn of course, within reason. You know, don't break a rule if it's going to hurt you or someone else. But to show her that you can change your mind and you can do whatever you want to do. Or not do whatever you want to do.
That's right.
I think for mine, I've talked to the guys that I do the morning show with about this. When my mother was alive, and I know it's something that she would, we'd be talking about today, if I picked up the phone and talked to her today, was really to chase the light. Just go out and have a good time. And she was always concerned about me just having a good time. And so I love things like skydiving and just living on the edge. I don't want to do anything that's ridiculously dangerous, but I like living on the edge. If it pops into your head and you think, I might want to do it, but you're a little bit scared, like, go ahead and do it. And there was this guy, I saw him on 60 Minutes years ago, skydiving and with a Birdman wingsuit. I'm like, he's so inspiring. And I watch his videos from time to time. I friended him on Facebook because I wanted someone in my feed who inspired me, who posted things that were inspirational. And he always talks about people saying, you know, that he's an adrenaline junkie or people like him are. And he's like, it's just good, clean fun. We just like to go out and have good, clean fun. Like, he's chasing the light. Like, this guy is living. And there's this man, I can't remember his name, but it's he's just known as Jetman. And he's Swiss, and for 20 years or more, he just had this dream. He's a pilot. He had this dream of flying like a jet. And so he tinkered in his garage, then he got with friends and started working, and now he's in Dubai, and he flies this thing that's like a jet. He can pull three Gs just out with this metal wing on. And he said it's small step after small step. He's like, you know, nowadays people, they want it right now. He's like, but I took all of these small steps, and I got to where I want it to go. And I love the way he's lived the last 20 years of his life. So I find that really inspiring.
I love that. That's chase cool. the light.
I like chase the light.
Love that.
That's so true. I like chase the light.
Thanks for listening to Women Who Mix. Connect with us online at mix1051.com.